Good evening, Hanok.
How are you, Jasmine?
Good. And you?
I'm doing well. Jasmine, we're waiting for others to come on.
Okay.
Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Please join us in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa Gedula Chemincha Tati Alopet Gimel Yutap Sadi. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagbeinu Tacharenu Nora. Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun. The letters of the month of Tibet. The Bet that created the planet Shabtai, the planet Saturn. And the ayin that created the constellation Gedi, the goat, the astrological sign of Capricorn. Together, the ayin and the bet have a gematria of 72, which connects us to this Sephirah of Chachma, which is wisdom. Na gibor dor shehudcha givavat shamrem. Nun gimel dalet yud kaf shin. Barhem tacharem rakame sitkarcha tami gamlem. Petetresh, Saditaf Gimel. Hasim Kadosh, Berov Tucha, Nael Adatah, Hetkuf Pet Tet Nunayan. Yachid Geyeh, Lamcha Penei, Zokre Kedushata Yud Gimel Lamed Hey Zion Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziyakatenu Yodea Talumot Shin Kufav Tzadi Yud Tav. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We're now going to separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of that creation. And we're going to utilize the 13 attributes of mercy to implement that. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum Vechanum, Erech Apaim V'Rav Chesed Be'emet Notzer Chesed La'alafim Noseh Avon V'Apesha V'Chata'av V'Nakeh. We're now going to read the verses that connect to the various years, starting with this year of 5777, the year of the goat, which is also known as the year of the wake-up. And we're going to read Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. And we will start with L'Shem Yichud. L'Shem Yichud, Kud Tabarichu, Ishkinte Bitchilu, Urchimu, Urchilu, Urchilu, Urchimu. Leyata l'shem yud hei bevav hei B'yichuda shilim b'shem kol Yisrael Limud Torah mitzvah Lasok Torah mitzvah Vayihino amadunai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu konane aleinu ma'asei yadeinu konanehu Tzod saduni katzipor Oyevachinam. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to parse them into three Hebrew words, tzatz ki ach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letter of the words, we're able to permutate them into two Hebrew words, dir yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse that connects to this year of the goat is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. Included in this verse, the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Zion, separated, each letter is separated by seven other letters. Kim ba Adonai. Yohei wahei Elohechem Hata debaku Kasher asitem Ad hayom hazeh. The year 5776, known as the year of the pause, the There are also two verses that connect to that energy. The first that we will read is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Rakaponim ha'yulimat v'lo yachlu lehashit et kol ha'olot v'yachaskum acheichem ha'levim ad kelo tamlacha v'yad yitkadshu ha'kohanim ki ha'levim yishrei levav lehitkadesh me'ha kohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letter of each of these words, we're able to reveal 8 names of God when we permutate the letters. Adonai Yohe Wahe La Lahe Wa 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 Yo La Yo Wa La Me Hey 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 Aka A Re Ka Ha. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4 is the second verse that connects to the year of the pause. Be U Ba Adonai Yohe Wahe Adead Ki Bia Yohe Adonai Yohe Wahe Sur Olami. The year 5775 is the year that swallows death forever. That's the energy of the year.
Why didn't it?
We have 3 verses that connect to this energy. The first that we will read is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishem imeni lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. The second is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol hamachavoiya asher yitabe sham washavtem elai el nachom wehalachti itchem v'chayayim yeshno v'aretz v'chipasti oto b'kol alfei Yehuda. And the third is also from Job, chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetzach yoved ro'av yom ru'ayom. The year 5774 is the year of peace in the Middle East. There's only one verse that connects to that energy, and that is 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wisam timakom le'ami le'Yisrael untati v'shakam ta'akta v'lo yirgaz od below Yosifu, Bene Avla Anoto Ka Asher Barishona. We're now going to read a verse from the Zohar that has the energy of certainty within it. It's from Parashat Yitro, Pasuk 29. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekama atar tanenan Pekud shabarichu Koma diaved Leila witata Kolaihu keshot Beovada dikshot Velet lachmila Vialma divae Parnash ledachya Leya mineya Ulan hagabeya Kilana dehakulu Ovada dikshot inun vipola isterishbialma. We're now going to scan the 72 names of God. And the 72 names from the Tzaddikim. And the Tzaddikim who left this day, which is the 19th day of Tevet, Rabbi Aryeh Leib HaKohen Heller, Abraham Shmuel Binyamin Sofer, also known as the Kitzav Sofer, and Rabbi Menachem Mendel Zach. And the eighth verse of the Ana B'Koach, we will say in a whisper. The essay today is from Rabbi Ashlag. It's available on the Yeshem website. I believe that is in row 16, the fourth the column from the left. And when you open that up, you'll have the essays. And I believe it's number 27. Its title is The General Preface. We're getting a lot of static, so I'd appreciate if you'd mute your phone by pressing *6. And if you want to ask a question, feel free to do so by pressing *6 again. Rabbi Ashlag starts with a statement or a quote, to the proficient in the tree of life, and to everyone, as in first learn, then comprehend. And I am adding, do you know the difference between learning and comprehending? Number one, our sages said there is not a blade of grass below that does not have an angel above that strikes it and tells it grow. This seems very perplexing, for why would the Creator trouble an angel from above with striking and nursing a tiny, insignificant blade of grass? I am adding, we have all heard this statement from the sages. What questions would you ask? I have always asked, why does the angel need to strike the blade in order for it to grow? Continuing to read. Yet this saying is of one of the creation's secrets that are too long to interpret. This is so because the heart of the infinitely wise wishes to reveal a portion and conceal two portions with their golden allegories, as they are wary of revealing the Torah to an unworthy disciple. It is for this reason that our sages said that that one does not learn from legends, as legends are sealed and blocked before the masses and are revealed only to a chosen few in a generation. And we also find in the book of Zohar that Rashbi, the Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, instructed Rabbi Abba to write the secrets because he knew how to reveal with intimidation. See in the Idra where it is written that for each secret that Rashbi disclosed in the wisdom, he would cry and say, "Woe if I tell, woe if I do not tell. If I do not tell, my friends will lose that word. And if I tell, the wicked will know how to serve their master." This means that he was in distress from both angles. If he did not reveal the secrets of the Torah, the secrets would be lost from the true sages who fear God. And if he did reveal the secrets, people of no merit would fail in them, for they would not understand the root of the matters and would eat unripe fruit. Hence Rashbi chose Rabbi Abba to write, because of his wisdom in allegories, to arrange things in such a way that it would be sufficiently revealed to those who are worthy of understanding them, and hidden and blocked from those unworthy of understanding them. This is why he said that Rabbi Abba knew how to reveal with intimation. In other words, although he reveals, it still remains a secret to the unworthy. However, in the Zohar, they promised us that this wisdom is destined to be completely revealed at the end of days, even for little ones. And they also said that with this composition, the children of Israel would be redeemed from exile, meaning that with the appearance of the wisdom of truth, Israel will be rewarded with complete redemption. And we also see that the words of the Zohar and the hidden secrets in the wisdom of truth are being gradually revealed, generation by generation, until we are rewarded with revealing all this wisdom. And at that time, we will be rewarded with complete redemption. And I am adding, will it take complete revelation of the wisdom to bring a complete redemption? Continuing to read. To clarify the text with which we began, we shall first explain the verse in the famous book of creation, where it is written of the 10 Sephirot being 10 and not 9, 10 and not 11. Most of the interpreters have already examined it, but we will explain it our own way, so matters will be revealed to all who seek the word of Hashem. And I am adding, this is a famous statement from the Sefer Yetzirah. Yet Yetzirah means formation, not creation. Can you explain why Rabbi Ashlag refers to it as the book of creation? It is known that the 10 Sephirot are called Keter, Hakma, Bina, Chesed, Gevura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and Malchut. It is written in the Ari's Gate to Introductions, in the section of Hada'at, that they are actually five Behinot, discernments, Keter, Chachma, Bina, Zeranpin, and Malchut. But Zeranpin comprises six Sephirot, Chesed, Gevura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, and Yesod. I have written at length about the 10 Sephirot with this composition. So here I would briefly say that in this general preface, I wish to give the student a true and general knowledge of the majority of the expansive wisdom and the true orientation in the style of study. In the book, The Tree of Life, most students fail to understand the matters, since the spiritual concepts are above time and above place, but they are expressed in physical terms, pictured and set in times and places. Additionally, in the writings of the Ari, no order for beginners is arranged in this wisdom. The books were composed by the holy words that he would say before his students, day by day, and the students themselves were proficient in the wisdom of truth. Hence, there is no text, long or short, in all the books that were written, which does not require true proficiency in the wisdom in general. For this reason, the students grow weary and cannot connect matters altogether. Thus, I have come out with this preface to connect the matters and the foundations of the wisdom in a concise manner, so it will be readily available to the student with every text he may wish to study in the writings of the Ari. And for this reason, I do not elaborate or interpret each matter to the fullest, for this will be clarified with my composition. Instead, I summarize sufficiently for my purpose. And our sages said, first learn, then comprehend. I am adding, the historical manner of the study of Kabbalah after the Ari is to study the Sefer Etz Chaim by memorizing the words. This is the meaning of learn. Then comprehension will come as you purify yourself using the words and the letters of the Torah. The Ari wrote that the 10 Sefirot, Keter, Chachma, Bina, Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet, Netzach, Chod, Yesod, and Malchut are actually 5 Behinot, 5 discernments. Keter, Chachma, Bina, Zeran, Jin, and Malchut. This is the meaning of the 4-letter name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. The tip of the Yud is Keter. The Yud is Chachma. He is Bina. Vav is Zeran Pin, containing 6 Sefirot, Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet, Netzach, Odin, Yesod, and the last He is Malchut. You should know that the Otiot, the letters, and the Sefirot are one thing, but following the rule that no light expands without a Kli, a vessel, when we speak of both together, that is, when the light is clothed in the Kli, they are called Sefirot. And when we speak of the Kelim, the plural for Kli, alone, they are called Otiot. And Otiot would be translated as letters, or sometimes as signs. I am adding, this is an amazing statement. My understanding has been that the Sefirot are vessels that represent consciousness levels in the Tree of Life. Letters are power stations that cause movement between Sefirot. Worlds are Sefirot and light together, although the light may not be wholly fulfilling the vessel. The above paragraph is different. It does not mention worlds, and thus we need to understand the 3 terms, letters, Sefirot, worlds, Partsuf. Remember, in Hebrew there are no synonyms. Thus we need to define these terms and use them based on the definitions. It is written about the light that the white in the book of Torah implies the light, And the black in the book of Torah, meaning the letters, implies the vessels. This means, as the Ramban interprets concerning, I form the light and create darkness, that the matter of eliciting existence from absence is called creator, since it is an innovation, something that did not exist prior to its creation. And in the light, and all the delight and pleasure included in the light, it is not an innovation, an elicitation, existence from existence, but rather existence from existence. For the light and all the abundance has already included in his essence. For this reason it is said, form the light, for it is not a matter of creation, but of formation. That is, forming the light in a way that the dwellers below can receive it. But the darkness is an innovation that was generated with creation, and eliciting existence from absence, meaning it is not included in his essence. This is why it is said, and creates darkness. But the darkness is the real opposite from the light. Hence, we should understand how darkness can extend from the light. Umpanim masbirot, translation, a welcoming face. In branch one, I have elaborated on this point, and here I shall only brush through it. It is known that it is written in the Zohar that the purpose of creation is to delight his creatures, since it is the conduct of the good to do good. Clearly, every wish in him is a mandatory law for the creatures. It follows that since the Creator contemplated delighting his creations, a mandatory nature of wanting to receive his pleasure was immediately imprinted in the creatures. That is the great desire to receive his abundance. Know that this craving is called a kli, with respect to its root. For this reason, Kabbalists have said that there is no light without a kli, since the will to receive, included in each emanated being and creature, is the kli, and it is also the full measure of the light. In other words, it receives precisely the measure that it wishes, no more and no less, since there is no coercion in spirituality, and even in the physicality, it is not from the side of Kedusha, from holiness. Clearly, the Kli's form is different from the light's. That is why it is called Kli and not light. But we need to understand the meaning of this disparity of form. Indeed, the will to receive for oneself is a great disparity of form, since this form does not apply to the emanator whatsoever, from whom would he receive? Rather, it has been initiated in the first emanated by its existence from absence. Making in it the will to receive is the cause of causes. The Sefer Panim Masbirot, we have not studied that yet, and we will do so when we get to that in the list of Rabbi Ashlag's essays. This clarifies what is written in the Holy Zohar, that the upper Keter is darkness compared to the cause of causes. They are referring to the will to receive included in the first emanation, and they call this disparity of form darkness, since it does not exist in the emanator. For this reason, it is the root of the darkness. which is the color black, compared to the light, and opposite from it. Also, it has been explained in Panim Maspirot that as physical things are separated from one another by an axe and a hammer, the spirituals are separated from one another by the disparity of form between them. And when the disparity of form increases to the point of oppositeness from one extreme to the other, complete separation is created between them. And I am adding, the disparity of form is consciousness. Thus, form means consciousness. In the spiritual level, and our minds are a spiritual aspect. For this reason, it has been explained there that the form of the will to receive is immediately included in all the light that expands from him, but as a hidden potential force. This force is not revealed to the emanated, except when the emanated intensifies the desire to want additional abundance, more than the measure that has expanded in it by the emanator. For example, when the food is tasty, one's desire for more food increases more than one's eating. Hence, after the emanated increases the desire to extend additional abundance more than the measure of its expansion, the actual vessels of reception appear. And the thing is that because this disparity of form does not apply in him, but in the creature, it is completed only by the awakening of the emanated. And understand this thoroughly. I am adding, this is clear as written, in my opinion. If this is not understood, please ask a question, since this is an important item to understand. Number two. Hence, the expansion of his light does not extend the boundary of being an emanator, and becomes an emanated, although it does through the four behinot, called Chachma, Bina, Zeranpin, and Malchut. This is so because the expansion of his light is called Chachma, which is the full measure of the essence of the light of that emanated. And when it intensifies, it extends more abundance than the measure of its expansion. It is considered Behina, singular for Behinot. Bet, a second Behina called Bina. Also, three discernments should be made in the second Behina. The first discernment, the essence of the Sefirah Bina, is Chachma. And I am adding, is this hard to understand? Bina is connected to Chachma. Visualize two cylinders, one within the other. Remember, the Malchut of Chachma becomes the Keter of Bina after a process. I hope this helps. If this is still unclear, ask or send me a question. The second discernment, the intensification of the desire that it manifested, for which the root of the vessel of reception was revealed in her. In that sense, there is disparity of form in her, meaning aviut, the will to receive, compared to the or, the light of Chachma, that is called upper Geburah. The third discernment, this is the essence of the abundance that she has acquired through an awakening of her own desire. This light is given its own name, Or Chasadim, which is much lower than the Or Chachma, which expands solely from the emanator. Or chasadim is associated with the intensification of the emanated. As it was mentioned, that the Giburah, which is a light that has been made coarser, became the root of Or Chasadim. These three discernments together are called Bina, and the second Behina from Chachma. Thus the two Behinot, Chachma and Bina, have been clarified, and the Keter is the En Sof, the root of the emanated. And although Behina Bet manifested an intensified desire towards the operator, she is still unfit to be a complete vessel of reception. The thing is that in spirituality, the Kli and the light in it are very close, virtually interdependent. When the light disappears, the Kli is canceled. And when the Kli disappears, the light is canceled. Thus, the importance of the Kli as the importance of the light. Hence, the form of the vessel of reception was not completed in Bina, since her essence is the Or Chachma. For this reason, the Or Chasadim, which she extended through her own intensification, was annulled before her essence, as a candle before a torch. Thus, this Or Chasadim expanded further from Bina, outwards from herself, and gain strength to extend additional abundance, more than the measure of its expansion through Bina. At that time, the vessel of reception was completed. Hence, we discern two more Behinot, Behina Gimel, the third discernment, and Behina Dalet, the fourth discernment, which are expansions that extend from Bina, where the vessel of reception is still hidden. In potential, as long as it did not intensify for addition. And this is called Zeranpin, and its intensification for more abundance is called the Kli of Malchut, which is a vessel of reception that was completed in that emanated, which is now made of light and Kli. By that it stops being considered an emanator and is discerned as emanated. These are the four Behinot, known as Chachma, Bina, Zeranpin, and Malchut, which are the four-letter name. Chachma and Bina are Yud and He, and Zeranpin and Malchut are Vav and He. They are considered 10 Sephirot because Zeranpin contains 6 Sephirot, which are Chesed, Geburah, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, and Yesod. The thing is that the essence of Zeranpin is the light of Chesed and Geburah, meaning the two Behinot or Chasadim and Upper Givurah, which expanded from Bina outwardly. And we should note here that in Bina, Givurah is the first and the root of the Or Chasadim. But in Tiferet, it is to the contrary. Chesed precedes the light of Givurah. Since the main light that expands is Chesed, and the Givurah is ancillary within it, in Bina. Now you can understand what was written in the Tree of Life and by Rashbi, that in the world of Nikudim, the Geburah de Zeranpin preceded its Chesed, since the Zon de Nikudim are considered the Zon de Bina, and not the actual zone, as in the two bottom Behinot. Of the four above-mentioned Behinot, this is why Geburah de Zeranpin precedes its Chesed. And I am adding, There are differences between the Sephirot in the world of Das, Nikudim, and the present world, the world of Tikkun. One of those differences is that Givurav Zerantin precedes Chesed rather than following Chesed in the world of Tikkun. Hopefully this comment helps you understand the above. Also, the Sephirah of Tiferet, the Zerantin, is the unification of the above Chachma and Givurah to the act of the Kli of Malchut. It is called Tiferet since the light, Mitpaer, boasts itself on the Behina Aleph, the first Behina, which is Chachma, whose desire did not suffice to make a Kli. But Behina Gimel, which is Chasadim and Givurot, the plural for Givurah, that expand from Bina outwardly, suffice to make the Kli of Malchut. This is the meaning of according to the beauty, to Tiferet of Aman, to dwell in the house. This explains the three Sephirot, Chesed Gevura Tiferet to Zerantin, and they are called the three patriarchs, since they are the essence of Zerantin. Also, Netzach, Hod, and Yesod are called sons, since they expand from Chesed, Gevura, and Tiferet. And I am adding, this is explaining another difference between the worlds and dot, between the world and dots and the world of Tikkun. The thing is that because of Tzimtzum Aleph, the first restriction, which is thoroughly explained inside the book, a hard masach, a screen, was made in the Kli of Malchut. This means that Bechina Dalit, the fourth Bechina in the Kli Malchut, detains the upper light from spreading from the Bechina Dalit due to the disparity of from there, as it is written there. I am adding, this is another difference between the two worlds. Yet the light expands and wishes to come to Bechina Dalit also, as the nature of the upper light is to expand to the lower ones, until it is almost separated from its place, as it is written in the Panim Masbidot. Hence, a zivug de haka'ah, a coupling by striking, was made between the upper light that spreads into the Kli of Malchut and the detaining Masach in the Kli of Malchut. And I am adding, Zivug de Haka'ah is the Hebrew for the translation of binding by striking, and this is taught in our basic class 5 and 6. This is like sunlight hitting a mirror, which sparks being reflected. Hence, 10 new Sephirot emerge from this Zivug de Haka'ah, called the 10 Sephirot of Or Chozer, of reflected light. It turns out that there are two sets of 10 Sephirot in each emanated being. 10 Sephirot of Or Yashar, direct light, over the 4 Behinot, and 10 Sephirot of Or Chozer. And I am adding, the question arises, is there 4 Behinot with the 10 Sephirot of Or Chozer or not? Know that this is the upper light that re-expanded from Chesed Gevura Tiferet to Zerantin for Zivug de Haka'ah in the Masach, in the Kli Malchut. They are called Netzach Hodin Yesod. Now you can understand what is written in the Tikkune Zohar, that Malchut is fourth to the fathers and seventh to the sons. This means that when she is first emanated, Malhut is discerned from the act of Tiferet to Zeratim, and follows the Chesed Gevura Tiferet, which are called fathers. And from the perspective of the illumination of the Or Chozer in her Masach, she follows the Netzach Hodin Yesod that expanded to her for Zivug HaKa'ah. And the Netzach Hodin Yesod are called the sons of Chesed, Gevurah, and Tiferet. Hence it is seven to the sons. Thus, we have properly explained the essence of the ten Sephirot. Keter Hachma Bina, Chesed Gevurah Tiferet, Netzach Hod Yesod, and Malchut at their root. This is the first concept in the wisdom of truth, and it must always be before the eyes of the student while delving into this wisdom. Now we understand the sound warning in the book of creation, 10 and not 9. It means that since a detaining Masach was made in Behina Dalet from the Tzimtzum downwards, it is impossible to mistakenly say that Behina Dalet is excluded from the 10 Sephirot, and only 9 Sephirot remain in Kedusha, in holiness. For this reason it warns 10 and not 9. And it warns further, 10 and not 11. This means that you should not mistakenly say that Behina Dalet became a vessel of reception after the Tzimtzum. Thus there are 2 Sephirot in 1 Malchut. One is the Masach that always raises Or Chozer, and a vessel of reception to receive Or Yashar as well. This is why it states 10 and not 11. Is anybody asking a question? I am adding. Masach translates as curtain. Direct light hits that curtain, pushes the curtain back into the room like the wind. Then the curtain pushes that direct light by raising the Or Chozer back up through the 9 Sephirot. If the pushback is strong enough, if not strong enough, it goes back as far as it pushes. Thus, the light that comes as direct light is recreated as 10 Sephirot, which represents a complete Partsuf. And as a Partsuf, it is allowed to penetrate the curtain and be revealed in the level of Malchut. And this is where we are going to stop tonight's class. We'll pick up next week with section 3. Does anyone have any questions? Classes tomorrow and Wednesday at 4:30 West Coast time will be mini Zohar classes. 7 o'clock Tuesday will be a Tikkuni Zohar class. And 7 o'clock Wednesday will be questions and answers series. Thursday at 4:30 will be Advanced Reincarnation, and Thursday at 7 o'clock will be a Zohar class. There are no classes Friday, but on Saturday at 6 o'clock West Coast time, there will be a Havdalah ritual and a third meal to strengthen our immune system. This will be followed by a class at 10 o'clock or 7 o'clock West Coast time, where we have another Zohar class on the new parasha for the new week. Sunday at 10:30, we will continue with our study of the Sharei Kedusha. And next Monday, a week from today, At 7 o'clock, we will again read Rabbi Ashlag, and we will also recognize that there will be a mini Zohar class at 4:30 a week from today. I wish you all shalom and a beautiful week. Be well. Shalom.
Shalom.